pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Ken Seymour, Richard Geiger, music aficionados,
experts of the highest degree,
critics, but the nicer kind.
Yes.
Usually.
Fair, honest.
Right.
Just don't give us country and we'll be good.
Well, you can even give me country sometimes from some artists.
Is there a date, like it has to be pre-1980?
No, actually, because there is a current, very popular country music star that I'm actually a bit of a fan of, and I'll listen to pretty much anything he does, especially when he teams up with other artists like a Justin Timberlake or something.
Or Les Claypool, you know.
Or Les Claypool.
So, do you consider Billy Strings? Is that who you're talking about?
No. Billy Strings is bluegrass.
Bluegrass. That's what I was thinking.
So what I'm talking about is a man that definitely wears his country hat, and he tends to sing about whiskey a lot, like Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm sure Stapleton's great.
He is great. He's amazing.
Sure, he's great.
Because his country, really, it's got country in it, sure, but it's heavily influenced by blues and pop and rock. So, he's right up my alley right there. Now, if you give me some Travis Tritt, man, maybe not so much.
Randy Travis,
I was kind of hit or miss with him. There was some stuff I would like, some stuff I wouldn't.
Alabama.
They had one song I liked, I seem to remember.
Brooks and Dunn.
No, thank you. I'm fine.
You're not out for the boot, scoot, and boogie?
No. Well, okay, here's the problem with the boot, scoot, and boogie. And I'm just going to say we're getting way off topic. Before we even begin, really, the conversation, that song is so incredibly catchy that it will get pretty much anybody bobbing their heads, even if you don't like the song. So I don't want to give it a chance to just bore into my head and be an earworm that doesn't go away.
Oh, it's there now, though.
No, I'm currently listening to Soundgarden in my brain to keep it at bay.
Oh, okay. So you don't want to get down and turn around.
Nor do you
want to go to town.
Jump. That's what's going in my head right now. All right. So this is a very long introduction and a very goofy way of bringing into the fact that we're doing a mystery music spectacular episode. And what does that mean for you, dear listener?
It's a mystery.
Not anymore. Spectacular, depends on perspective. We think it's spectacular. We were talking the other day and we go, you know what? We've been talking about music in certain iterations for the better part of 6.5 years on this podcast. You know, we often, you know, focus on comic books and movies and things, but we love music and we want to talk about it. So we talk about certain artists and their best albums and perfect album groupings and, you know, top 10 lists of a variety of different kinds. But we've never really written down. Whenever we do a movie review, we write it down on the website. We rate everything so you can see, hey, these awesome guys that talk to us every week, what do they really think about X movie?
A DMX movie? He's got a couple.
That's anyway, what I'm saying.
You're right. But we'll break down the movies more on an individual basis, give us a total score to give it that summary, that grade, if you will. Now, we're not really going to do that with this.
No.
I suppose if we wanted to go crazy for a particular album, like, well, what was the production level? Let's go over song number two and the highlights from the woodwind instruments that we heard. You know, like, I suppose we could really, really do that, and that would be cool and all, but, you know, it'd probably just be a Soundgarden album or, like,
yeah,
Alice in Chains or, you know.
Our tastes are just different enough that could devolve into some name-calling and some sadness on either of our part as we just try and wade through whatever it is that we're listening to. So we're gonna do something different. We have, upon occasion, traded CDs to give to each other to listen to and try and kind of see, hey, this is one I really like that you haven't heard. Here's one that you really like that I haven't heard. And what do we think of those? And so we're going to start with those particular albums. which we've done four times already.
I could have swore we did more than that.
Yeah, I combed through. I couldn't find another one. I found a lot of other things that are really cool because you can get to all of our episodes. So I spent like about an hour and a half just combing through our episodes.
Like, oh yeah, we did that 6 years ago.
But we've only traded CDs four times. Now, we have done top 10 albums or top 20 albums once or twice as well. But what we're going to do is we're going to go over the existing four times we've done album swaps and then choose two additional albums that we're just going to pick off the top of our heads to kind of give, you know, pick one that we think is really, really good and then one that we both think is really, really awful to kind of give a perspective.
Now, the goal with this is to kind of set some modest boundaries, some modest guidelines for our scoring, not system. This is not a system.
No.
Our scoring mindset, let's call it. So that as we go through more and more episodes through this year and beyond, that we can add an extra element to our discussions about things like, hey, let's break off for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, briefly discuss an album, give it our score, and you know what? Move on. We don't know. Are we going to do it at the beginning? Are we going to do it in the middle to break up the monotony of things? Who knows? Who knows?
I think we'll play with it, and then we'll get your feedback, or what I think is much more likely to be no feedback. And
correct.
And then just decide what we do, because I know you're listening. I see you listening. I can tell it. We can track this stuff, but I don't blame you. We don't post the most amazing things on Facebook or Twitter. It's just advertisements. Here's the next episode.
Well, I can tell you, I've been mowing the lawn quite a bit, and I feel like next week there's some hot content coming.
So, you know, not seeing responses, we get that. So we're just going to try and have a little bit of fun with this, give you a little something maybe you haven't heard, give you a chance to get an idea of some new listening pleasures, that sort of a thing. So let's start the episode by determining what our top and our bottom ones that we're going to rate at the very end to give ourselves perspective is going to be. So I know we both love Soundgarden.
Sure.
Why don't we do a Soundgarden as one of our top tier?
Well, do we want to stick to the core?
Yeah.
Do like Bad Motorfinger, Super Unknown?
Something like that.
Down on the Upside?
I know you really like Bad Motorfinger.
I do. It's my favorite of the bunch. If that's, you know, 1A, the other two are, you know, 1B. So it's
right.
That's an easy one. Okay, so in discussing, and you can hear the keys clacking because we need to
clickety clickety clack.
We need to mentally prepare ourselves so we can record this information and read it and see it. Now we need to figure out something that we
both don't like.
And maybe country's too easy.
I have an idea.
We could go with, no, because I kind of like that album, though. Where, oh, gosh. So the problem is we would had to have listened
to
the album.
I haven't listened to this whole album. Okay. Well, maybe instead of saying something that is just awful that we've both listened to, because that may be a matter of perspective, just something that's okay. Or just pick an album we both listened to that we may have differing opinions on.
See, even that could be challenging. We should probably find a genre. Let's see. All of our musics that we have up here.
We have some jam bands represented. We've got jazz represented. We've got kind of heavier bands represented. We've got some R&B hip-hop represented. We've got some... We don't really have any straight pop.
Yeah, no pop or no dance, electronic, techno. See, the one I was thinking, My brain doesn't work. I know you don't like it. It's the one. It's got a crab on it. It was popular in the late 90s, and then they disappeared. Smack My B Up. Was the video that was popular. That album.
Yeah, I don't know if I've actually heard that whole album. How about if we're going to go something a little more poppy, we can go classic. Classic pop rock. Beatles.
The Beatles. Well, there's so many to choose from.
Right. Well, let's give them one.
So we could have lots of discussions. The Beatles were popular for like 4 years, right? And they put out like a dozen albums, and they were all just killer. It's a crazy phenomenon, and I don't want to argue about the comparisons in popularity between the Beatles and Taylor Swift. Okay, this isn't what we're here for. We just need to figure out. So, pre-drugs or post-drugs?
Well, I figured we go post-drugs because that would give us a little more of a chance to have a difference of opinion, possibly.
You know, the pre-drugs, those poppy hits were just so catchy, right?
Right.
And then you just started getting into a change of pace, groove, experimentation on some albums, sampling. There was sampling on some of their later albums, right? That was the precursor to what we know today as sampling. It's just kind of crazy how they kind of just changed a lot of the way people hear, see, listen, think, talk about music.
Yeah, I think this is it. This is the one. When they really got into the drugs and they really got into the being led down the path of not great by certain swamis and what's the word for them? Con men.
It's all about peace and love, brother.
Right, right. Magical Mystery Tour.
Magical Mystery Tour. Interesting. Good start.
Yeah. So, all right. So we'll do that as our kind of potential. I was about to say taste testers.
Yes, they did a lot of taste testing with little tiny stamp sized pieces of paper.
Well, yeah, no doubt about it. Litmus test. That was what I was going with.
Oh, okay.
It was coming. It's just the problem is the folds of my brain, they don't always do what I want them to do.
Sometimes you got to unfold them and iron them out and then fold them back up again.
Absolutely. So let's start with the litmus test because those are potentially going to be easy. Let's start with the album that we both love by Soundgarden that has Rusty Cage and just all the other really awesome stuff on it, Bad Motor Finger. Because that's an album that doesn't have a bad track on it.
It is... Of any of the albums from that era, and there are many that we enjoy, and I was thinking about this the other day. It's like when you listen to music and, you know, you go to your comfort zone. When we were younger, you know, the older folks were like, oh, this modern music is just nothing compared to the music that I listened to in the 60s and 70s. And, you know... Growing up right now, I'm just like, they were probably absolutely right because everything was a band sat together in a studio and created stuff and there was nothing to fill or fix or change. It was just like, let's
record the track and that's what we got.
Let's hone our craft. There was a speaker sitting on the floor with a mic attached to it and you could adjust some of the levels and that was that. And then they went on tour across the world, and that was cool. But then, you know, things changed in the 70s, and then you had, you know, disco and hair bands in the 80s and the 90s. And there's just, for Bad Motor Finger for me, there's just nothing that epitomizes the grungy sound but shows you the skill and the quality that a band can be with great lyrics, vocals. It was like the complete thing. If you wanted heavy, like when you say grunge, there's so many different levels to grunge, but Bad Motorfinger to me is like the epitome of that album. And I would say if I could be extremely biased in my ratings, I would probably give it a 99.
Well, you have the option to do so. Is that where you're going?
Yes.
All right. So 99 from Richard. And I have to say that, you know, you are just absolutely right. Cause it's awesome. I mean, as I just see the names of the songs, all of them are playing through my head. You know, it's like, holy water on the brain and I'm losing sleep. It just immediately goes to me, you know, just, and when they did, you know, we were talking about this a little bit with some of the other swaps we were doing. We'll get to that in a minute. You mm-hmm. know, you know, one album I gave them had a bunch of skits on it. So a lot of albums do skits or they do intros to the song that lead up to the song mm-hmm. that often is just not great or at the end of it doesn't work. But even like the intros, My Good Eye, the intro to My Good Eye is just, it's long for an intro to a song, but it works. And it just prepares you and gets you amped.
Squealing pig.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Now, would I give this a 99? Yes. Yes, I would. So I would say this is darn near perfect.
This is the... what did I had a Dan Marino poster hanging on my wall. Mm-hmm. I had a poster of Bad Motorfinger. And it was Chris Cornell with his long flowing hair and no shirt. But like it was a picture from a live performance with the Bad Motorfinger and the little symbol on it. And so that was just
good stuff.
Also had a Guar poster hanging up too. So, yeah.
All right. So for the second litmus test, we're going to use the Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles. Now, this particular album came out a long time ago, released in 1967.
It's a long day ago.
Yeah. So these guys, a lot of people are still just crazy about, and for good reason. I mean, they could write a hell of a song.
Well, the thing about the music back in the day, too, if you look at the album that we just talked about, there was a couple on there that were like 2 minutes long, but a lot of them were 4 or 5 minutes long, mm-hmm. right? Maybe creeping into 6 minutes. Look at the track lengths, 2 and 3.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a 4 minute song on there here and there, right? So some of the really awesome ones on here are 4 minutes long, but the whole album, the whole album is 36 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that's just not.
It's not a lot.
It's not what you'd see in today's standards for albums, but that's 11 songs. You're getting 11 unique items in a little condensed form. Now, I don't know the logistics behind this, right? So these were LPs. These were records. That's how you mm-hmm. delivered the music. If you yep. did one that was like an hour long, how are you going to fit that all onto an LP?
It still fit.
It would still fit?
Yeah. Okay. My dad had several that were that length. You know, the Aqualung, I think, was in that range because all of their songs were longer.
So they were just wasting pressed plastic at the time.
Well, I don't know if I would call it wasting, but it's the type of music that they're trying to go to. They're trying to capture a limited attention span and just have something fun that's in and out, and for the most part, you know, get their idea in. I think it works because, you know, in general, you know, it's with the more pop style type of music, you don't necessarily want a 10-minute song.
No, and these play better on the radio.
Right.
Right. And the thing that I really appreciate on this is that we always know that there's a Lennon and McCartney, mm-hmm. but this album is like, if you look at the vocal composition on this, it's like they switch, right? Mm-hmm. So you get a good mix, from the writing piece of it. You get a really good mix from the whole band. If you watch the special, it's on the Disney Channel about them creating, you know, their last little album as they break up, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe people really attribute Ringo as one of the best, and he's just such a, he was so good at timing,
yes,
right, and keeping the rhythm of a song with just a very minimal composition. He was very good. I mean, I can go on. Yeah. Preaching here. So
this one is one side's a soundtrack, one side singles. It has some big singles. It has some songs that maybe aren't quite as memorable to most people. What would you rate this album?
Man, this is very good. It's very good. This is probably a 90.
I think a lot of people would be in that range. Now, for me, I mean, All You Need Is Love. That's a classic. Baby, You're a Rich Man, meh. Penny Lane, meh. Strawberry Fields, solid. Hello, Goodbye, really good. I always liked Hello, Goodbye a lot. I Am the Walrus, stupid. Your Mother Should Know, pointless. Blue Jay Way, Give Me a Break. Flying, okay. Magical Mystery Tour, stupid.
Certainly, yes. And if you probably listened to this back in the day and you heard this for the first time, you're like, bleh?
Right. Now, The Fool on the Hill, I love The Fool on the Hill. It's one of my favorite songs that they do. So not 90 material for me, but solid 80.
And honestly, most of their other albums I'd have higher than 90. And I will say this with, you know, we're talking about building up what our score base is kind of built around.
Mm-hmm.
I never owned any Beatles. I still to this day don't own any Beatles. I never owned a tape.
Mm-hmm.
I never owned a CD. I never owned an LP. My parents had a couple like record singles that I listened to and some LPs, but I never owned any of them. I don't even know if I've downloaded any of them digitally onto my phone. But all of these songs on here, it's just like, you know all of these songs. You
right.
Click the albums, you know all the songs. It's kind of crazy.
My dad had Abbey Road and Let It Be and Sgt. Pepper's on vinyl. So that's how I listen to that. But I've owned all of these at some point. Except for Beatles for Sale. I don't think I ever had that one. So let's move on and just kind of briefly go over the other things that we had. Let's start with our most recent one that we did. We decided to give each other some R&B stuff. He gave me WC in the Mad Circle, Curb Server, and I gave him Handsome Boy Modeling School, White People. And both of us kind of did what we expected that we'd do. We both basically liked it, but liked ours better.
Yeah. I've been on this kick. We were looking for our album swap that we did a couple years ago to figure out the names of the album or the composition that you had given to me. I can go back into my history to see the songs that were played. And in 2022, when we did that swap, it was like it was WC, Mac 10, Ice Cube, West Side Connection, and anything involved with them. So I was obsessed for a bit.
That can happen. Richard gave the WC album, he gave me a
78
and I gave it a 72, and then I gave the Handsome Boy Modeling School an 82 because I really enjoy several of the tracks on there, and Richard gave it a
51.
Not quite so enamored. Now going back a little bit further, we decided to annoy the heck out of each other by going into some weird stuff to give each other to listen to.
Yeah. So if you want to look at our history, which one are you going back to? You going back to the first one that we did?
No, we're going backwards in time. So
okay.
This is season 4, episode 38.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't choose to annoy each other.
No, I'm being funny. But we
not
wanted
in this one.
We wanted to be something that was not the normal rock and roll, R&B stuff that we focused on
yes.
as much. So Richard gave me Fish, a jam band, the album by the name of Farmhouse, and I gave him Charlie Parker. Savoy's was the name of the album. A little bit of jazz.
Yes. And if you like legitimately right now go to listen to any Fish album, and there are a lot of them. And almost all of them are awful. Your job is to not listen to Fish on a CD. It's to listen.
Go see them live.
Go see them live. But Farmhouse was like one of those actual studio composed albums. And if you're a Fish fan, you probably think that that's an okay album. But as not a Fish fan, I really enjoy that album because it's not like 12 minutes of just like screeching on a guitar and then people thinking it's the best thing in the world. So,
yeah. Fish for me, pretty much no matter what. Nah, it's not that they don't. They actually have a couple songs I really like, but one of the ones that like my favorite one wasn't on that album. But
no, most people's favorites aren't going to come from that album.
No, no. But you thought this was so good, you gave it.
I actually gave this one an 81,
which is a really solid score. I gave it, because it kind of meanders and wanted to put me to sleep on multiple occasions, I gave it a 60. And then the Charlie Parker album was one of those rare instances where we kind of had the same mentality.
Oh, yeah. So they just went into studio, created some tracks, and put it to... I mean, that thing was recorded on a shoebox and a tin can.
Yep.
And you know what? That's kind of okay.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yep. Just a whole different skill level. Very nice to listen to. Great change of pace.
Yep. So we both gave that one a 75. And then if we go back even further into the mists of time, back into season 3, episode 25, this is one I feel like he gave me the CD to annoy me.
That's not true.
It wasn't true. It just happened.
I love me some Les Claypool. Love me some Primus.
Yes.
And he's got a lot of solo or, you know, collab type albums outside of Primus, many, many of them. And this is one of those that I think it's a, if I look at my CD at home, I think it's a BMG, maybe a Columbia House, because there was no internet. I didn't know what else he did. And so this is just a side project and I like it. They actually have there's a video that you can watch on MTV that was put on for the namesake of the album.
Yeah. And so he gave me Sausage, Riddles Are Bound Tonight, where I gave him some trippy sort of metal with a little bit of Baroness, yellow and green. So Baroness, if you don't know them, it's not surprising. They're not exactly what I would call the most popular band in the world. I got introduced to them because I was walking around one day, went to a music store, you know, the place where they sell music. So few of them, feels like, nowadays.
Excuse me?
Yeah, right. And I just wanted something different. So I just went to the owner and said, I would like something to listen to that I've never heard before. And he goes, what do you want to listen to? It's like, I would like to listen to some heavy metal. However, I would like there to not be all screaming. I want the person singing to actually be able to sing. And he goes, oh, I think you'll like this. And he set me up with this album. It's like, yeah, I do like this. So he did the same thing that I did. He gave me their best album. and it was really good.
They do like to, this is actually, if I'm not mistaken, this is two albums, mm-hmm. technically.
Yep.
And all their other albums are various colors.
Right.
And they actually have opened in the U.S. for like...
Fish?
Yeah. Ozzy? Did they do Ozzy? Or were they on a single tour, but like a festival tour thing?
Oh, they've done a ton of festivals.
So like there have been people in the U.S. who have seen this band live. And maybe for you, if you're listening... It was like me when I went to the Family Values tour and one of the opening bands was Rammstein. I was like, these guys are dope.
Right.
And maybe you got introduced to this band by seeing them live as they toured the U.S.
So Richard gave this a solid...
What did I give that? 79.
And I gave it an 80. We're still very similar minded on the quality of this album. Liked it quite a bit. Now, unsurprisingly... Because he's such a fan of one of the greatest bassists of all time, his feelings on the Sausage album are going to be pretty solid, too, with a
92.
Yes, that's not right.
That's not right. that's another album, 80.
80. Now, I hated that album. I did not like it at all. Now, we're going to remind you, just because I disliked it doesn't mean it's bad. It just hit me exactly the wrong way.
No, let me ask you this question. We've had discussions before, but what are your thoughts, just in general, brief, on Primus?
Primus is all over the place. They have some tracks that are just phenomenal. And then they have meandering, pointless junk. And some albums we're going to have more of one and less of the other. I like all of them enough to want to listen to them.
So take that with more of the meandering.
Right.
And then throw in some people that he's played with in the past.
Right.
And that's what you get with Sausage.
Exactly. Exactly. I think the name is kind of makes sense. So, I mean, it's everything kind of crammed together and packaged. But I still gave it a 40 because I couldn't stand that CD. But luckily, the next CD, when we travel back even further to episode 6 of season 1.
Yeah, this amazed me. And, you know, because my memory's phenomenal. I didn't think we started doing this until a couple seasons in, but no, this was quite literally the 6th episode that we did.
Yep. The nice gentleman sitting next to me gave me a CD of one of his favorite bands of all time to listen to. And I gave him a CD of a band that I liked really well, not to the level that he likes Gore, but a band that I really, really liked. And we thought, it's like, oh, you know, I bet he'll like that really a lot.
So my whole thought process is on the Gwar album that I gave, which was Ragnarok, it is not my favorite Gwar album.
Most approachable.
But I thought it had more of the metallier tones in a few of the songs that might have translated more better, let's call it.
I think you're right. I mean, I liked the background.
So if you go to like This Toilet Earth, that's actually probably my favorite one. And really everything before that. But a lot of the things that I do, if I have a username for anything in this world, it's Ragnarok. And that's where it came from. It didn't come from movies or Thor. It came from 90s Gwar.
Right. And, you know, it makes sense because they clearly are doing something right because they've got a loving fan base that will follow them forever. But when I was listening to that album, I was looking for notes, and I couldn't find any notes because it was, you know, from 6 years ago at this point. But I was thinking back. It's like I seem to remember the thing that struck me. It's like, oh, it's like making a sandwich. You're going to give me the most delicious rye bread. I'm going to get some just amazing cheese to put on there. I'm going to get some excellent, maybe some pastrami, maybe some roast beef. I'm going to get...
any ham?
Yeah, maybe some ham in there. And it's just, I'm building this delicious sandwich. It's like, oh, I'm out of mayo. What am I going to put on there? Cottage cheese. It just ruins the whole sandwich for me.
I'm gonna say like, wait, what's the thing that's out there? Because I hate mayo. Mayo's disgusting.
I know you hate mayo.
Miracle Whip? Miracle Whip. There you go. Are you gonna challenge the foodies out there and say Miracle Whip?
So I have a funny thing, and I'm gonna have to do this. I got to find it at some point. I want to get Ragnarok minus the vocals. And listen to it, and I bet my rating would be completely different.
Well, the thing about it is that grouping of artists for the band, if you look at it compared to now, it's there are some similarities. We've had the same drummer, same kind of rhythm guitar, and that's it.
A lot
lead,
of change.
Lead guitarist has changed a few times. One's passed away. Of course, vocals. The bassist that they've had over the years, there's been like four different bassists, And they've been a back and forth. So who they have playing bass now played bass for them before, but did not play bass for them the entirety of their album set. So consistency wise, they've had a couple members, and that's really been about it. But, you know, some of it's been due to death.
Not much you can do there, unfortunately. What? I know this is one of your favorite albums. You gave it a score of
92.
I gave it a score of 54. I liked it better than Sausage.
That's fair. Yes.
Yeah. And then Candlebox, more of a kind of southern rock, not metal, but, you know, harder rock, but got a little southern influence, a little bit of pop in there, a little more national appeal, which I know often is good, but will peel interest back a little bit from Richard, because he is a connoisseur. He likes a specific style of stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna anti-national popularity.
No.
I'm just not pro.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. And what did you give the Candlebox self-titled album?
78.
And I gave it an 85. I used to have that, like I was telling them earlier, I had it scored higher because it was one of my favorites from back in the day. But, you know, as we change, things get shifted around, but it still has a lot of great tracks on it and still has just one that I absolutely love and I will tell everybody about because I'm a sucker for timing changes and it has one that just kind of has some really neat shifts in it. But.
Well, that the thing about Candlebox is it's sneaky because they get overshadowed by their contemporaries, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were around the same time as Soundgarden and Alice in Chains.
Exactly, but they still tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't have enough knowledge to know, but like, I think the whole band's still there.
As far as I know, yeah.
It's one of the few from that era that has maintained its self, right?
Right.
They haven't had any deaths or had to swap around people. So and they still tour. They were supposed to be here in Bloomington
a few years ago. Yeah. But yeah, so there you go. 10 albums. Not only have we gone back and talked a little bit about previous episodes, but we have now given them scores. And what's the purpose of giving these scores? We're going to put them on the website, just like we do with our movie reviews. You're going to be able to go to a page and go, hey, what do they think about music? And we're going to create the ultimate music list of all time, album list, best albums of all time, at least according to us. And, you know, that's what really matters is what's great according to you, right?
Yes. Should we look for some that we own or owned, but they are the worst of the worst?
I'm going to look because I know there's a couple that I thought I would really love that I ended up not liking so much. I know there's one that I hated, but not because it was bad, but it's just part of that story that I told you about at my first concert because the album was great. But the band is made up of a lead singer that is a giant douche.
See, I'm wondering how I would score. Like I have Cake, Fashion Nugget, which is an amazing album, but it's the edited version. So
loses 20 points.
Yes, like that album should be over 90. But, you know, it's not the original. Gosh, Circuit City. Curse you, Circuit City.
Yeah, that's bad. Well, I will tell you what. This has just been kind of a really fun jaunts down memory lane, and I hope that the rest of you will take that kind of tour down that same memory lane with us and just kind of enjoy it and maybe listen to some new stuff. Next week we will be having an interview with an actress by the name of Alessandra Williams. She is just an absolute delight. That will be fun. The following week after that, we're going to be reviewing the newest in the most popular cop movie series of all, probably not the most popular, let me rephrase that, the most Axel Foley related cop movie series of all time. Axel F.
You know what we should do? We should review or score the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack for that album.
Oh, yeah. That'll be the one that we'll do. I like it. I like where your head's at, good sir. But come back and see us next week. We love you. Stay safe. Listen to some good music.